The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
We hear a lot about faith, and we hear a lot about love, and I think that hope is perhaps the forgotten middle three of the great theological virtues. But when someone is suffering from depression or a related mental disorder, this virtue of hope is so foundational, so important in the process of their recovery, in the awareness that God is their loving Father, and He will help them through this trial.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Thanks for joining me. Let's talk about that. All right, I don't know how you are doing today. Are you down? You out? You feeling a little depressed? A little under the weather? Overcome by so much of the circumstances of life? If you are, today's the show for you. We're going to get you plugged in to everything that you are going to need to know and that you're going to deal with. It's hard. You know, sometimes life can be, right? I mean, you might suffer of loss. You might be mourning. You might be seeing your business fail. You might be battling a prolonged illness. You know what? You can get down. You can get depressed. You can get bummed out. And you know that's okay. It really is. That was Dr. Aaron Cariotti that you just heard there. He was talking about depression. He's been a frequent guest of ours on the program. And, you know, he says, you know, the faith, the virtues of hope. And this is something I do want to talk a little bit about later today. That's a weapon against what is an ever-increasing, ever-growing plague of depression in our society. So if you have somebody right now that you know is depressed, if you are down and out, I invite you to turn up the radio or at least get them plugged in, because today I think we might be able to answer some of your questions. All right. I don't know if you saw this or not. I follow what the Holy Father says, and every month Pope issues prayers. Well, he issues prayer intentions, and he asks the church around the world to pray for specific things, right? And so often you'll hear this lifted up at Mass, or, you know, we'll do it here on the show. You know what his intention was this month? It's a great one. This month, one of his intentions was that we pray that people who suffer from depression or from burnout will find support, and that they'll, you know, and that that they'll find a light that opens them up to life. And I thought that was worded beautifully, because when you are depressed, everything gets a little darker, doesn't it? The whole world dims. And he says, pray for people who suffer from depression or burnout, that they'll find the support and the light that will open them up to light. You know, that's it's a much-needed prayer right now. A lot of people are suffering from depression, especially because of the lockdowns. And we saw the huge spike in that, didn't we? We saw depression levels, we saw anxiety levels, and we saw suicide rates all go through the roof, especially during the lockdown. And right now, a lot of people are trepidatious. They're concerned about what the future holds. We're still battling COVID. We're seeing rising inflation. We're seeing all sorts of other problems that cause people really to be concerned. And, you know, maybe even lose hope. Maybe your business is not doing well. You know, maybe you can't find work. You know, maybe you are sick. Maybe you've lost someone. It's easy to get depressed. You know, according to some sources, you know, lockdown depression, and this was news to me. I didn't realize this until about last week. Lockdown depression became the new normal. There was a psychiatrist. He wrote this article for the New York Post that he says depression rates tripled since the start of COVID. Depression rates have tripled, not doubled, but tripled since the start of COVID. And for the 12-month period ending just last June, he says fatal overdoses have increased almost 20% to an all-time record high of 81,000. That's way too many Americans to lose their life in that fashion. So, bottom line here, depression is a common malady in our country, and you're not alone. If you are going through this, you know, one of the great deceptions of the evil one, this is my own personal take on this. I really believe he wants you to believe you're alone, that there's no help for your situation, that you'll never see light, you'll never get out of your current circumstance, that God's not going to come to your rescue. That's the deception. That's the narrative of the evil one. Now, I got a different message for you. There is hope. There's always a brighter day. With God on your side, all things are possible. And maybe today you're listening to this program by chance, Maybe you turned me on at the right time. Dealing with depression is tough. I mean, a lot of times it could be psychological. It could be, you know, biochemical. There's a lot of things that go into it, as well as circumstances. One problem I think we see in our culture right now is our reliance on technology rather than on each other for comfort and for wisdom. And the least depressed people in the world are those who rely on tech. There's this tribe in Papua New Guinea called the Kalui, and they don't have any tech at all. You know, none, zero. They live in a survival mode all the time, but their close relationships, they have wonderful relationships. Physical labor is hard, but it's kept them very sane. The Amish have a very similar account of low depression rates as well. But, you know, getting somebody off of tech in our country is nearly impossible. So how do you go about helping people who are depressed? Deacon Ed Schoner is going to be joining me here. We'll get you up to speed on that. Just as a side note, I saw a news report this morning, and I think in parts of Chicago and I think in parts of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Comcast and some other internet provider went black, right? They went out. And I just thought, man, imagine how different life would be if we look. I love tech, and I got to be honest, I'm probably addicted to it. You know, I lost power in my home for a couple hours one day during a big storm, and I thought I was going crazy. You couldn't put on your television, right? I couldn't answer email. I couldn't, you know, get into the computer. I couldn't read. I couldn't do anything, right? I guess you could read if you wanted to do it old school with a book, but it was weird how dependent you are on that cell phone of yours or that tablet or that computer. Can you imagine if everything went back to a simpler time? How would relationships change? What would happen to depression rates? What would happen to anxiety levels? What would happen to community and those bonds? I think sociologists are going to look back on this technological revolution that we've seen, and I think they're going to see some real big markers. But, you know, with hindsight, you always see with 2020. Let me welcome to the program, though, Deacon Ed Schoner. He's a deacon at the Cathedral of St. Peter in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and he's been with us in the past. It's good to have him here with us. He's also the president of the Association of Catholic Mental Health Ministers, and if you want some help, you might want to check them out. You can go online to CatholicMHM.org. He's teamed up with Bishop John Dolan. He's an auxiliary bishop of San Diego. They published a couple different books. And I think we had him on before talking about When a Loved One Dies by Suicide. That was one of his books. And his other is Responding to Suicide. They have longer titles, of course, but good to have him back with me today. Deacon, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Drew. Nice to be with you again.
Always delighted to have you here. I appreciate it. Depression rates. I was struck by the fact that we are seeing them tripling in just, you know, recent months, if you will. Of course, we're seeing people turn to opioids, and as a result of that, we're seeing, you know, fatal overdoses. I did a show not too long ago on fentanyl and carfentanil and what it's doing to America. What are you seeing? This is your area of expertise. Are you guys overloaded now, being overrun? What's happening? And what's driving it? I mean, lockdowns are in theory over right now. Are numbers beginning to drop, or what are you seeing?
Yeah, the numbers that I've been reading is that this is a continuation of a trend that started before the lockdown, before the pandemic. I'm sure you probably remember the drug overdose problems, fentanyl, opioids in the country was a crisis before, and the pandemic certainly didn't help it at all. The rates of depression and anxiety are up, especially with young people. The only glimmer of anything that I would even call this good news, but suicide rates have stayed held steady. But as you said, the drug overdose rates are up, and it's an awful thin line between, you know, what a coroner classifies as a suicide and as a drug overdose. So these deaths of despair, I guess if you want to call it, are certainly up. And you know, this cries out for the compassion and healing presence of Christ in our society and in the individual lives of people that are dealing with these afflictions. It's so great that the Pope is leading us and praying for people to live with depression this month.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think they're often forgotten, and we should be praying in earnest, I think, for them. Let's talk about things we can do for those who are depressed. You might have a son, a daughter, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's a sibling. What are some of the things people can do to help somebody who's in a depressive state? Because honestly, I would think you feel powerless. Like, what can I do if they're not taking their medication or if they're not getting out? I mean, this literally could be crippling for them.
Yeah, I mean, probably the most important thing you can do, and, you know, and I live with depression myself, is just be close to them, accompany them. Oftentimes, it's simply in silence. Just be with them. And, you know, it's sometimes we have to accept our limits, and sometimes we can't tell them what to do or solve their problems. I know when depression comes over me, it's like, I don't know what metaphor you want to use. It's like a fog coming in, or it's like having a bad flu or something. There's just nothing you can do. You just need someone to be with them. You know, Drew, and it's also important, you know, it's a gift from God, psychological support and mental health counseling and therapists. All of this is a gift from God, this better medical care that we have available to us. So, you know, encourage people to, because we self-stigmatize. We don't like to acknowledge we have depression or mental health problems. So getting this support's important. And like you mentioned earlier, Drew, the words of Christ can help us and console us.
You know,
Christ is the greatest psychologist ever.
Amen to that. It really is funny how people look at mental health, you know, and I hope attitudes are changing towards it. I mean, if you have cancer, if your gallbladder's bad, or if your liver's not operating, you know, people understand that, you know, you have respiratory mm-hmm. problems, heart problems. That's okay. But if somebody's right. struggling with depression, or they're crippled by anxiety, or they have suicidal ideations, they're almost as a shame for those who carry that. I mean, you can talk about not having a strong heart, but you can't talk about, you know, dealing with crippling anxiety or possible depression. Why is that? What is it about? How did that ever happen? Why do we compartmentalize these, the physical versus the mental, almost as though the mental is worse?
Like it's a moral failing or a character.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right,
this self-stigmatization, this discrimination that people live with and impose upon themselves. So it's good that, you know, you and other Catholic leaders, Drew, are talking about this. It is a psychological problem. It's also, they're also healing that you can find in the church. But I often equate it to this. If you're thinking of, well, let's put it this way. If your chest was, you know, if you had chest pains, or if you had some sort of tingling in the side of your face, you would go get it checked out for heart problems or a stroke. Similarly, if you're thinking about suicide, I don't mean actually making a plan and going buying something to kill yourself, but if you're thinking about that, take that as an early warning sign to get some mental health care, and don't be ashamed of it. You know, go get a therapist or find a psychologist and go get the care you need. And slowly but surely, and I'm sure surely, because I believe Christ is in the midst of all this, slowly but surely, the stigma is breaking down, and we'll be able to get the care that we need. And
great.
If I would add, you know, the value of a loving church community can't be overstated. Yeah. This sense of community, because far too often, I don't know about your church communities, Drew, but in mine, you know, the people that live with a mental illness were reluctant to bring it up and to let it be known within a community. So they, even within a church community, the guy sitting next to you in the pew might be, you know, the college professor or your high school teacher, and they're dealing with clinical depression, and they don't want to tell you about it.
Well, you know, you break your leg.
That's a shame.
You break your leg, it, you know, people could see you're limping, you're walking on crutches, you're in a cast, but when the cast comes off, they say, oh, he's healed. You know, somebody with depression or anxiety or whatever other the mental challenge might be, sometimes, you know, I can understand people being worried that people always look at them as if though they have this great struggle. So, I mean, it's a tough thing. We need mercy and we need compassion. Let me take a few phone calls for you, too. If you want to get in, you got a question, maybe you're struggling, you know, a great time to join us. The number's 888-914-9149. Jim is listening to us in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania, or Newton's. Yeah, I think it's Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. Hi, Jim. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. It's very timely that you're having this talk. I listened to Relevant Radio back around March or April, and you had the same topic on, and someone mentioned do something good for someone else. Mm-hmm. By coincidence, that night, around 10 o'clock at night, I got a call from my son-in-law that my daughter was being rushed to the hospital, and someone needed to take care of the six little kids, ages 3 to 11. So we rushed over, and as my daughter's going down on a stretcher and out to the ambulance, the six little kids were upstairs in their pajamas, all nervous and worried about mommy. And so I told them, I pulled them together, and I said, I was listening to Relevant Radio this morning, and Drew Mariani had a guy talking about depression and what to do. And he said, do something good for someone else. Doesn't that sound like a good idea? And the kids all nodded, yes, yes. And I said, but it's 10:30 at night now. What are we going to do for? Oh, I know. And I jumped on the floor and I said, I could sure use a back massage and shoulder massage and hip massage and foot massage. The kids pounced on me. The kids pounced on me and were giggling and laughing. And at least that night, it handled their anxiety and their depression. And I've told that story to other people when they're upset or depressed. And I say, let me tell you a little story. And it seems to work.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's great advice. I'm glad you called in to share that. And Deacon, maybe we can talk a little bit about that. A couple of things we had said, and I remember that conversation, Jim. When you do good, when you are charitable, when you give, I do believe, you know, your happiness increases. Father Rocky, who's our chief executive officer, often quotes the great saint Jose Maria Escrivá, who would say that. But there's lots of things you can do. I mean, count your blessings. That's another thing. You know, look back on gratitude. Identify the blessings that have come in your life, and then give of yourself. If you can give like you did, or encourage others to do that, if you can volunteer, you're going to find that, so often that depression becomes mitigated if it doesn't even leave you. And of course, I always say, keep your eyes on heaven. Always look for that silver lining and know that these problems are always temporary. But Deacon, I'd love your take on it.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, people that I deal with in our support groups and that live with depression, they get so isolated. They even isolated with inside their own head, so to speak. And being able to get outside of yourself and joining a community, help other people is good for lots of reasons. I mean, Christ made us to live in a community like that, so it's inherently part of us wanting to be and support each other. But it also helps you to focus your energies on something besides what maybe your mind is, you know, you just get in this circle where you're just constantly ruminating on the same thing. It sort of breaks that and allows you to focus on something else. So it's therapeutically good. It's morally good. It's good on a whole different range of levels. And to the extent our parish communities can open their doors and allow people who are living with this depression to give them opportunities to serve other people, it's so helpful on so many different levels. So that's why when parishes start mental health ministries, it can really help people in so many different ways. And that's a ministry that I think a lot of our parishes are starting to do and can think about as offering that, a special ministry focused on mental health and helping people with depression to get out of their depression and serve others. Absolutely. It's a great idea.
And if you're in a parish and, you know, you might have a health program or something, you may want to look into doing this. Deacon Ed Schoner, you're listening to, is the president of the Association of Catholic Mental Health Ministers. You can learn more about him at CatholicMHM.org and check it out. I'll go back to the phones in a second here. If you're on hold, I'll get you on the air. If you want to get in, the number's 888-914-9149. I want to circle back to something, though. I mean, Jim talked about, you know, doing something for someone else. You know, we talk about the things we can do. I really think that the rise in anxiety that we're seeing in the culture, because so many millennials are crippled by this. And I also think that depression and suicide rates are also indirectly perhaps linked to this overload of technology we have. And I think technology is inherently neutral. If it's used for good, goods are multiplied. If it's used for evil, evils can be multiplied. But I also do think it might be doing something to the mind and maybe even to the psyche. And the reason I say that is not only because of the rise of anxiety we see at unprecedented levels, but like I was mentioning, this Kalui tribe in Papua New Guinea or the Amish, they have none of this technology today. And statistically, their data, the rates of depression amongst the Amish are incredibly low and practically non-existent for this other tribe. What role does technology, this constant stimuli, this so-called, you know, being ever connected, you know, the likes and all the followers, the et cetera, what does that play? How does that play into one's sense of self, maybe even their anxiety or depression, in your opinion? What are you seeing?
I think that's tied into the rise of the nuns, the N-O-N-E-S, you know, not N-U-N-S, but the rise of the unaffiliated religious. Well, they're not just simply unaffiliated with churches. They're not affiliated with civic engagement. They're not affiliated with their community. This technology isolates us. You sit there and, you know, and I'm guilty of it too. You sit there, look at your phone or your desktop computer, and you get wrapped up in your own little isolated community. And that's not real community. That's not and being around living and breathing human beings who are sharing their stories with you, their joys and their laughters. The technology is isolating it. And I think we're all starting to realize that, or we're all too just sit at home on the weekend and watch Netflix rather than go out and join people in community events. Yeah, this is something I think as churches, and it's a real place that parish communities can make a real difference, is to offer these places of community and places where people can get together and talk restore themselves spiritually and emotionally.
I think you're right. You know, I'm a people person. I love people. I love talking to people. You know, I used to do a lot of traveling when I was doing documentary work. And you know, I'd be in an airport. Nobody had cell phones then, really. You know, there are laptops or tablets. I mean, you talk to the person sitting next to you, you know, or in line, or you chat to whoever. I mean, people talked. It was now, you know, you get your oil change, you go to the store. Nobody wants to look at each other. Everybody looks down, and they're all in their phone. Okay, you're checking your Facebook feed or your Twitter or whatever, or your email. It's unfortunate. We're more connected, but I also think at the same time we're more isolated.
Yeah, those of us that are in parish leadership positions maybe could start to address that with some sort of social activities in the parish and not get discouraged if only 5 or 10 people show up at the first one. I mean, it's something that we can do something about, I think.
I love it. Deacon, I'll tell you, hold on a second. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, if you're on hold, dive right into the phones. Love to hear your experiences. Love to have you join the conversation. If you're struggling, you need some insight. We are speaking today to Deacon Ed Schoner, Deacon at the Cathedral of St. Peter in Scranton, Pennsylvania, but also the president of the Association of Mental Health Ministers, and he wrote 2 books. When a Loved One Dies by Suicide, Comfort, Hope, and Healing for Grieving Catholics, and Responding to Suicide, a Pastoral Handbook for Catholic Leaders. His story is a powerful one. We might touch on that as well. So stay with me. I'll be right back. Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, I am traveling to the Holy Land in February with our underwriting sponsor, Nativity Pilgrimage. Information is available at relevantradio.com/Holy Land. That's relevantradio.com/Holy Land.
We all have difficult lives, you know, that life is characterized in large part by suffering. There's an inevitable element of suffering in life. And I've been suggesting to people that the sustaining meaning that they can find in their life isn't to be found through happiness, let's say, because happiness doesn't work when you're not happy, when things have gone badly for you, for accidental reasons. But you can find sustaining meaning and responsibility, and you can take responsibility for yourself. You can do that. And if you take responsibility for yourself, you treat yourself as if you're someone that's worthy of care and discipline.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was a very bright thinker. That, of course, is Dr. Jordan Peterson, who is a clinical psychologist, giving advice that he gives to his patients that suffer from depression. Responsibility, he says. Responsibility. It gives meaning to your life. I know a person who suffers from anxiety, and I think about this particular individual. She's locked up in her own place. She barely goes out, barely does anything, can barely hold down a job, and I think probably also suffers from depression as a result of it. Responsibility, he says, gives meaning to your life. You know, the stress that a lot of people are dealing with right now, not only because of the coronavirus, but because of all the other pressures that we're now seeing in society and the culture at large, economically and in so many other areas, you know, millions of people have been affected as a result of COVID. And there's great anxiety. There's great fear about what the future holds. If you are suffering from anxiety or depression, there is help, and I want you to get it. It can easily lead to alcohol and drug addictions. I've noticed that is on the rise too. A lot of people were stuck in their home, form these habits of drinking kind of heavily. Maybe you know somebody. Maybe somebody's talking about not wanting to live, not seeing hope in the future. There is a suicide prevention hotline, and I want to give you the number for it. So I want you to jot this down and give it to somebody. You know that the calls to the suicide prevention hotline had gone up about 300% just in a month. I mean, insane. That's an insane number. Here's a number for you. It's 1-800-273-8255. And an easy way to remember it is 800-273-TALK. Okay? And just talk. If there's an issue there, talk it out. As I said, there is always hope, and there's always a brighter and a better day. In fact, the Holy Father's asking you and me to pray for those who struggle with depression. That's his intention this month. He says, pray for those people who suffer from depression or burnout. Pray that they'll find support and the light that opens them up to life. So I think it's a great prayer. I'm joined today by Deacon Ed Schoner. He is the he's the president of the Association of Catholic Mental Health Ministers, and you can find him online at catholicmhm.org. And the last time the deacon was on, I think, Deacon, we talked about the loss of your child. Before I jump to the phones, do you mind just giving everyone a little primer on that? I mean, that was and again, I'm sorry, I don't want to touch on something if it's too sensitive or still pretty raw, but I know you've written books as a result of this to help a lot of people. And a lot of these behaviors, anxiety or drug abuse or addiction or depression, sometimes they lead to suicidal ideations. And I want people to be aware. That's why we're talking about it today. But maybe you can give everyone just a quick snapshot of your own experience.
Sure. I talk about it all the time because I believe God can turn everything to the good, right, Drew? Even suicide. Mm-hmm. My daughter Katie was a beautiful, vibrant young woman. She was 29 years old when she died from suicide, but she led a good life. She had bipolar disorder, which caused these extreme ups of mania at moments and then extreme downs of terrible depression. But most of the time, Katie led a good life in recovery. She went to school. She got a master's in business administration from Ohio State University. She had tons of friends. She was just one of these young women that were just a blast to be around. She was funny and vibrant, but she had this illness. And I'm sure the day she died, it was an impulsive suicide where I saw her experience it, where it's like a rock falling off the edge of the table. She'd become so depressed so quickly. But after she died, we wrote a simple obituary saying that she had a mental illness and died by suicide, but she was not defined by her mental illness or her manner of death. And that obituary went viral, much to our surprise. And I think it's because it spoke to the problems and the people with mental illnesses and those who are grieving the suicide have to deal with, that they are discriminated against and set aside, and that's not how they're defined. They, in the eyes of God, are beautiful creations of God and loved by God, and the Lord's mercy will pour out upon them. So I think that's the essence of Katie's story, is that it's an illness, and they're not defined by these illnesses. People have them, and that God loves them far beyond anything, the love even a parent can give to our children. God loves Katie more than even my wife and I were able to love her, and that brings us great consolation.
Yeah, and thanks for what you're doing. I know you help a lot of people. I know a friend of mine lives right next to somebody who lost their child unexpectedly as well, and it's devastating. Let's take a few calls. No, go ahead, Deacon.
I was just going to say, it's devastating. We need to do better with the medical care, but until the medical care gets better, as Christians, we can love and support each other and always remind the loved ones, even when they've lost someone to suicide, that God has not abandoned their loved one who died by suicide, and he's not abandoned you as you in your grief, and that the mercy of God is always there, always there.
Amen, amen, amen. John in South Elgin, Illinois, thank you for your patience. Good afternoon.
Hey, no problem. Hi, Drew, and hi, Deacon. My son also suffers from bipolar depression, and what we're doing this time, so he's been up and down, like you're talking about. He's been in and out of hospitals. We went to 5 o'clock Mass on Sunday, and we're in about midway through a 54-day novena for him.
Wow.
And so what we did was I was on one side with my hands on him. My wife was behind him. My other son was on the other side with his wife, and there was a couple in front of us. We all laid hands on him, and we prayed for him. And if a Bible verse came to our mind, we said it, and we let him speak. And it seemed to be very fruitful. So I think we can't underestimate the power of prayer in trying to help people.
Absolutely. And the power of your son knowing that his family loves him as much as you guys obviously do. That's so powerful.
John, you can't underscore that. I mean, that's right. I believe prayer animates everything and prayer changes things. I think sometimes we underestimate that. And even if it's not that miraculous healing that someone's seeking, that the depression's alleviated, you might find the right counselor, the right treatment, the right medicine. Who knows? You might have that divine spark, that divine touch that brings, you know, a total new beginning. So, John, what a wonderful, wonderful point to bring up. Danny's listening in California there on the Central Coast. Danny, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Deacon. I wanted to talk specifically about depression. And if people are indoors, we're headed into winter. So it's apparent that we're not getting enough sunlight. And I know there's been a lot of studies between the connection of production of vitamin D depression. And like you said, it's people are behind their devices, and maybe because of the lockdowns. So I think it's something to look at.
That's a good point, Danny. I'll hold you on that point. I'll let the Deacon respond. No question about it. As we enter a darker time of the year, there's less exposure to the sun. I know people in the upper states of this nation often, suffer from that. D3 is a wonderful alternative, and I think everybody have had physicians on talking about the benefits of vitamin D. I mean, it's something very simple we can all add into our regimen. But to that point, I mean, you deal with this issue with the Catholic mental health ministries all the time. There's lots of approaches, isn't there? There's vitamins, there's medicine, there's counseling, there's treatment, there's prayer. So it's not a one approach.
Sure, it's called seasonal affective disorder. I mean, again, I'm not a therapist or a counselor. One of the other things, I mean, I use it because I live in the Northeast in Pennsylvania. So is they call it a light box that mimics an outdoor light, because when we're in the sunlight, that produces the vitamin D that he's talking about. So that's another little thing to throw in your arsenal of things to fight your depression, is these light boxes that give off quite a bit of light that mimics daylight. But talking about all the time, Drew, don't be afraid to go see a mental health professional. It is not, you know, a weakness. It's not a lack of faith by seeing a mental health professional to help you through with the seasonal affective disorder. Maybe a little bit of an antidepressant would help. Don't be afraid to consider these things at least.
All right, we'll go to California again. Hope is listening to us there. Hi, Hope.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
My best to everybody at Revelant Radio. I went through a depression. What happened was my husband left me, my favorite cousin passed away, and my son went to war in Afghanistan. It was all at the same time. So I lost it. And I had taken my dad with me to my doctor appointment, and the doctor had told my dad, she's depressed. Take all knives, guns, rope, whatever you can out of the house. And I would go in my closet late at night and just scream and cry and pray, and I would do that over and over again, and somehow my youngest son would always find me and put his little teensy little three-year-old hand on my shoulder, and between God and my son, I made it. But I am still on antidepressants, because every time something bad happens, like when my dad passed, I go back into that same depression. So I still am taking medication, but you know what? You can pull through. You can pull through. Just ask God. Yell and scream if you have to, but just ask God, because you can't kick it.
Yeah, I love that, Hope. I'm glad you made it. I'm glad you stayed the course. And Deacon, it is always darkest before the dawn, as you know. We have lost Katie. And so many people think when they're in the midst of that storm, or you know, they've lost a loved one, or they lost their business, or whatever the situation is, it seems insurmountable. Sometimes you lose hope, and you know that virtue is so important in all this, isn't there? That, you know, God, as you pointed out in such a great quote, it's Romans 8:28, where God, you know, works all things together for the good for those, you know, that love Him. Good can come out of any situation, yet sometimes people don't see that far down. Your thoughts based on what Hope has said.
Well, like what your caller just said, we're mind, body, and spirit, and these illnesses are chronic illnesses. And yet antidepressants are wonderful things, but we also need the Lord present in our lives and to take care of our spirit. You can't one without the other. We need all three things working together: mind, body, and spirit. And it's wonderful when they all work, because that does give you the hope. Especially the spiritual side gives us the hope that we all need, and that Christ wants to give to us.
Let me try Gary. He's listening in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Hi, Gary. Good afternoon.
Hey, Drew. I just watched a documentary last night, and there was a man that was a survivor from Mount Everest, and he was left for dead, and he spent the whole night on Everest. So surprisingly, he showed up at base camp, or the fourth camp, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But one thing that he said really struck me. He talked about he suffered with depression his whole life, and the only time he didn't feel depressed was when he pushed himself to the limit, physically mm-hmm. and mentally. And that just really struck me, because when I was depressed, I used to exercise a lot, and I think that's what helped me relieve it.
Well, another good point.
Absolutely, and during our isolation, I've been doing this to deal with my depression, and it's good to be able to recognize when the depression's coming on. But I make it a point to get out and go for a walk, get the endorphins going, as they say, which I'm sure is a reality, too. Endorphins are real things in your body. But to get out for a walk, to get your mind focused on something else, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Maybe not climb Mount Everest, but take a walk around your park for 45 minutes. I think that's a wonderful idea that everyone, that's something we can do.
Here's the thing. Maybe you can't answer this question for me. I mean, we've talked vitamin D. We talked exercises, all sorts of different things, right? Doing good. Lots of ways to mitigate depression and ultimately deal with it. The disconnect from technology, as well, as we've seen, there's lower levels of depression amongst the Amish and some of these other tribes. What role does the faith play in this? I'm just wondering.
I tell you, Drew, when Katie died, probably the single most powerful thing that got me through my depression and anxiety and sorrow, was spending time in adoration. I would spend for months, I'd go down, and I had the keys to the cathedral, so to speak, because I'm at the cathedral. Right. I would go down after the doors were closed and come in and spend time in adoration. And I'll be honest with you, before that, I'd spend time in adoration, but it wasn't my thing, let's put it that way. But it was powerful. It was powerful spending time with Christ. To me, it was almost miraculous. But just taking that time to focus on Christ and ask Christ for healing makes a difference. It helps. It definitely makes a difference. And not just simply for therapeutic reasons. I truly believe that Christ is present with us and wants to heal us in a deeply spiritual way. I would certainly recommend that to anyone.
Adoration. And here's the thing about adoration. Sometimes when you're down and out, you can't pray, and I don't blame it. It's easy to say, oh, pray. But when you are depressed or you're anxious or you're overwhelmed, you just can't muster up the heart to pray. I think that's the beauty of adoration. That's when you go before the Lord as you would a friend, if you're just hanging out with a spouse or a friend or somebody. You don't always have to talk.
I would sit there and pray and just say, oh, my God, that was my prayer. Oh, my God.
That's perfect. I just let the Lord heal you. Let it bathe in the rays. Do some sunbathing. Bathe in the rays of the Son of God, if you will, literally. So, and there's healing that comes with it. I think it's such great advice. If you're in that situation right now, just find that church and just say, Lord, I can't pray, but I believe you're here, and
I'm
I
here.
Need to be healed.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. Right. But to the point of adoration, but to the other point too. You might not have the data for this. Do people of faith, let's look at Catholics or whoever, if God is in the life of someone, are rates of anxiety and depression lower, or does depression just strike straight across all denominations? I mean, I don't know whether the walk of the Lord helps you to be less depressed. I mean, again, like I said, I don't know if you have the data for that.
There is data out there. That question's been asked by many social researchers over the last decades. There seems to be that people that are more in touch with their faith, go to mass more often, seem to have lower levels of some of these mental health concerns. But it's a chicken and an egg question, right, Drew? Are they able to go to church because they don't have depression, or is the church service that's keeping their depression down? And ultimately, you can't do a controlled study to get a definitive answer on that. But there does seem to be a relationship there. Exactly the cause and effect, it's hard to hard to understand, but there's something going on there. And you know, there's nothing wrong with going to church and praying and being around other people. That clearly every psychologist would say that helps to be in the presence of other people and to be in the presence of, you know, us Christians, of course, we believe even in the presence of our Lord, definitely is helps. So
Deacon, let me do this. I just got to take a short pause. I'm up against the clock. I have to do that again. When we come back, Maria in San Francisco, she's got a cousin who lost her husband and is now considering suicide. I want you to address that because you lost Katie, your daughter, by suicide. And Maria, hang with us, okay? We'll be back with your call. If you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on. If you want to join us, the number here is 888-914-9149. We're looking at mental health today. We're looking at depression, anxiety, even suicide with the president of the Association of Catholic Mental Health Ministers, Deacon Ed Schoner. And we'll be back with more right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show. Connected. Relevant Radio.
Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, I am traveling to the Holy Land in February with our underwriting sponsor, Nativity Pilgrimage. Information is available at relevantradio.com/Holy Land. That's relevantradio.com/Holy Land.
We live in a postmodern world that rejects structure, rejects the idea that there can be a true story. Truth is subjective, relative, dependent upon my own interpretation. There's no solid reason, no solid reality which determines who I am and what I should do. My professor, Dr. Giesecke, puts it like this. It's like being at a play and somebody sends you on stage and you don't know the script, you don't know what character you are, you don't know the play that you're in. You're going to get up on stage and not know what to do because you don't know the story you belong to, the story you are in. And this causes deep anxiety because inside of us, deep within us, our hearts yearn for unity and sense. And our hearts do not lie. Our hearts and history tell the truth. The true story that we all belong to is what God has revealed, has been recorded in scriptures, and proved by all of history. God creates man in his image and likeness with the ability to love, and love means choice. And we chose and we choose to do evil instead of good for our own satisfaction. Sin is the problem, and we cannot fix it on our own, but God can. As St. Jose Maria Escrivá said, every day, O Lord, I'm less sure of myself and more sure of you. Like St. Therese said, I'm not always faithful, but I'm never discouraged. I know the story of love that I belong to. I know the goal is love, and I know where to go to receive the strength to strive to live love to its fullest. And that is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Now, what a great piece of audio, Maggie. Well done. That was Sister Marie Therese Langer from the Congregation of the Sisters of Merciful Jesus talking about depression stemming from an uncertainty in your place in the world. She says, look, we belong to a true story. We do. Look, there is hope out there. If I have time before the segment runs out, I'll share with you a couple saints who actually suffered from depression. You might be surprised at who some of these great saints were and ultimately, you know, how they found healing. I'll get into that. But right now, if you're just joining me, I am joined by Deacon Ed Schoner. He lost his daughter. I had spoken to him for the very first time after he wrote an obituary for the passing of his daughter. She died by suicide, and that was back in 2016, and her obituary went viral because it spoke really to the needs and concerns of people who live with mental illness, and quite often those who take their life, it's motivated by things sometimes really outside of their control. And he founded the Katie Foundation. You can learn more about him, too. I'll get you plugged into him. But right now, Deacon, it's good to have you back with us. And let's grab Maria's call in San Francisco. She is, I think, dealing with a similar situation. Maria, good afternoon.
Hello. Can you
hear
me?
Maria. Yeah, we can. Go right ahead.
Oh, okay. So I just have a question about, I have a cousin who is hurt. She just lost her husband, mm-hmm. and she keeps talking about committing suicide. I don't know if she will or not. She goes up and down, you know, about, but I'm just wondering, she's a Catholic, and I wonder if, I heard you say earlier in this program that God forgives those who commit suicide. So do you believe that God would forgive her? And because it says thou shalt not kill, does that mean even yourself? I mean, I don't know. It's not funny. Right, well, I don't know what to think.
No, I get it. Deacon, let's talk about this. Let's talk about what the church teaches regarding suicide, because it is a mortal sin, but, you know, there's all these mitigating circumstances. I'll let you address it.
Yeah, I mean, the Catechism actually has a couple paragraphs about suicide. It's certainly grave matter. We shouldn't kill ourselves, and I tell you this, no one wants to kill themselves.
Right, exactly.
I do truly believe mm-hmm. that. But these mental disorders, these situational depressions, like what your friend, your sister, you said it is, that's going through?
Your cousin.
I mean, these situational depressions put such pressure on our mind and our ability to deal with it that we get it in a place where we don't think rationally. So the church understands that, and the church believes Christ understands that. I would say this about your cousin. If she's talking about suicide, openly talking to you about mm-hmm. it, to the extent that you mm-hmm. can try to encourage her to get to see a psychiatrist or a therapist to work through this and try to reduce, because like I said earlier, this is like the signs of a heart attack or having mm-hmm. a stroke. She needs mm-hmm. to get help. And I would, and if it turns out she's saying, I've got a plan, you should ask her, do you have a plan? Ask her, do you mm-hmm. have a gun? Do you have a noose? Do you have a specific plan? And if she's talking mm-hmm. about having a specific plan, you know, if you have to call 911, you have to call 911 and get her into a hospital and get mm-hmm. her safe. But, mm-hmm. You know, that's a judgment call you have to make talking to her, because you don't want to shut her down either, but you want to keep her safe. So
She's in a grief support group right now. She's not.
Okay.
It's run by a therapist.
Oh,
so,
good.
She's getting a little help there, but.
The more she can talk about it, and if she can go see one-on-one counseling, it sounds like that would really help her.
Mm-hmm.
But ask her if she has a plan.
That would be good.
Anyone listening, ask that question.
The main thing I want to know, just though, is she's asking this question too because she's a Catholic. Will God forgive her if she does that? I mean, I don't. You said there's something in there.
If someone asks that, if they're thinking suicidal, I would say God does not want you to kill yourself. Do not kill yourself. And absolutely. At this point, obviously, but the mere fact that she's asking that question, she knows she should not do it. And do everything you can within your powers, you know, and sometimes, you know, I certainly know this, we're limited, you know, sometimes we can't prevent these deaths, but everything you can to get her to a therapist. And like I said, if she talks about a plan, don't be reluctant to call 911 and get, and most police departments now have police that are trained in mental health responses. So they're not going to send the ordinary cop in a beat. They'll send someone who has been specifically trained for these type of situations. So keep that in the back of your mind too. And look up, if you have access to the Catechism, you know, look up suicide in the Catechism, and there's three very succinct paragraphs to talk about church teaching on this. But at this point, your cousin does not want to die by suicide, and do everything you can to encourage, you know, prevent that from happening within your powers.
You know sometimes
still happens. Yeah.
Sometimes the fear of hell is enough to deter someone from doing that. So. You know, you don't want to give them the green light. Say, oh, sure, God will forgive you.
Exactly. You know, it's right. And it sounds like she's not there yet. She doesn't want to die. But let's, you know, do what you can to keep her from getting to that point where she thinks it's her only option. Sadly, some people, when they die by suicide, they truly, it's hard for us that have not been in that position, but they think it's their only option. And it's totally irrational. But it sounds like your cousin is still, you know, not there yet. So there's always hope.
And the deacon here, if you're just listening to us, Deacon Schoner lost his own daughter by suicide, and he knows what you're going through. There is a website you can go to, and there is a phone number. I'm going to give it to you right now. It's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, but here's the telephone number. Jot this down. Maria, make sure she has this if she's down and out. A couple things you can do. It's 1-800-273-8255. If you know somebody that's saying they don't want to live, they want to take their life, take it very seriously. I knew a young man who was very depressed, and I only heard this, you know, months or even a year later, from the family members who were telling me about this. They shared with me that their son, thought, I don't want to live anymore. So he went online and he looked up, Deacon, ways to kill himself. And there are chat rooms out there. There are forums, I don't know what it is, where people are saying, dress up in black and stand in a busy road or do. They were literally telling him how to take his own life. Instead of saying, hey, step back. Right. You don't need to do this. You can be well. They were describing ways to terminate his life painlessly or quickly or in all sorts of. It was evil is really what it was. This is a person who needed help. Not encouragement to take his life. So check out the National Suicide Prevention Line. You can also call this number, 1-800-273-TALK. 1-800-273-TALK. That translates into 273-8255. Or you could text, you can text the crisis line there. Text WORDS, W-O-R-D-S, and somebody will help you. Of course, 911's right around the corner. Deacon, I have to leave it there. Your two books. Let's talk about them before I run out of time. Where can people get them, and how will it help?
You can get them on Amazon, any of those online bookstores. They were published by, or are published by Ave Maria Press. And one's for the Catholic leaders of the parish to set up a mental health ministry and other support programs. And the other smaller book is for people grieving a suicide. It's written in 9 chapters, pray a novena, and invite Christ into your
life.
The book,
When a Loved One Dies by Suicide, by Deacon Ed Schoner. Be sure and check that out, okay? And maybe give it to somebody you know who could use it. It's been great to be with you today. Well, thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. Stay tuned. The Cale Clark Show is straight ahead. Have a great day.